All right, welcome back, guys. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch, who, by the way, I'm just going to throw it out. He doesn't know I'm going to throw it out here, but I'm going to. The Rams could really use him on special teams right freaking now.
We made the playoffs, though, Jake. I'm about to say, I'm flicking my thing here. We made the playoffs. That, thank God, we almost did not make the playoffs, or we would have clinched it maybe this week, maybe, depending on the 49ers, if they sit their guys or not. But man, Jake, it got a little spooky. That punt return, bro, it got spooky. We talked about it, Jake. We talked about it versus the Ravens. The Rams had the Ravens beat, but they lost against a punt return. And Jake, we made the playoffs. This is fabulous. What do they say in the playoffs, Jake? Pack your defense and pack your special teams, because at the end of the day, the offense is going to get schemed up. Jake, there's about 2 weeks till the playoffs happens. Your offense is going to get schemed up. So make sure that your guys create turnovers. Make sure that your special teams are actually giving you guys good field position. You know, that's really important. But I won't beat a dead horse there, Jake, because special teams is really important to me. And I think that the Rams need to make it important to them as well.
Hey, I'm with you, man. You know, it's kind of like I was joking when I came out. But I mean, in all seriousness, if you could suit up, like they need you. Like, I'm not kidding. I mean, I think this team lacks special teams aces. I mean, there's not a Darren Bates. There's not a Cameron Lynch. There's not a Corey Littleton. There's not John Johnson coming out of the draft. There's not a Nick Scott. And we see that, you know, I think it's clear as day. There are guys who can step up, and this is the time to do it, man. The best time to start getting better is immediately. So getting Duke Nukem back. Yeah. Getting Duke Nukem back, Duke Shelley. I'm very excited about that. I think he's an underrated special teamer. I also think he has a chance to start this week with potentially all the backups sitting, but let's not waste any time. Let's get into the Giants game.
Sorry, Jake, really quick though.
Oh yeah.
Really
quick. Go.
You talk about special teams. You talk about how important that is. Johnny Hecker. Now, the special teams is driven through your special teams aces, like you mentioned. A lot of times it's your punter and your kicker. Well, Johnny Hecker for the Rams has, ever since I've been there, he's made special teams fun, right? Think about the Seahawks game when he went to go push one of those players and he fell on the ground. You know, like when you have a Hall of Fame punter on your team, you have a Hall of Fame kicker, those guys on that team are going to ball out because of who that is. And so I really think that's on the Rams special teams, the kicker and the punter, to make sure, hey, make these guys care about what we're doing here. Make sure, like, make these guys care. Make these guys want to tackle when they get down the football field, Jake. We saw it. I think I counted the Rams missed about 5 tackles on that punt return versus the Giants. They missed about 5 tackles on that punt return against the Ravens. And to be honest, that's unacceptable, Jake. When I was playing, between the guys, we used to bet, like, yo, I'm a bet that I'm going to get a tackle this game. I'm going to have 2 to 3 tackles this game. And hey, bet $50. Me and Bryce Hager in between us. Hey, bet $50.
Bryce Hager's another one.
You know what I mean? But we took it serious, Jake. We used to fight in practice, special teams. We used to go at it, bro. John Fossil, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys now. We used to fight in practice, Jake, because we took it so serious. And so I don't think the Rams are fighting in practice now on the special teams. It's that competition is not there. And I think they need to create that pretty soon here in the playoffs, because if not, Jake, we're going to come back here on the show during the playoffs versus the Lions or whoever we play, the Cowboys, whoever it is. And we're going to say, damn, I wish the special teams would have showed up, because everyone else did. Brian Robinson is showing up, Jake. I mean, just talk about game balls really quick. Kobe Turner, Brian Robinson, these guys are showing up. Kyron Williams is showing up. I mean, he's running like he wants to win the championship. Why don't we have the energy on special teams? And like, I got my Brady shirt on here, Jake. You know, this was in Tampa Bay. I retired right before Brady won his championship, and he was on the Buccaneers for Jake for 1 year. And what happened was, is there was a mentality that, you know, he would text the guys at the end of the night. You know, the game was on Sunday. On Saturday night, he would text the guys, we're gonna get this win today. It's just different mentalities that Tom Brady had that the Rams need to harness. They need to lock in, Jake. You saw the college football games. What was it, JJ from Michigan? My man was doing yoga. He was meditating, you know, at that Rose Bowl Stadium. He was locked the hell in, and the Rams need to lock the hell in before, you know, it's too late and before we're preparing for Cancun. You know what I mean? We say Cancun 03. We do not want to go home, Jake. I want to win the Super Bowl, bro. So we got to lock in on special teams, offense, and defense. I know I went on a little rant there, but it's important.
I mean, I kind of got you started with the special teams, and I mean, you're not going to find another show that's talking about special teams this much at the start. So, just be happy that we're spending this much time on it, because ESPN ain't going to do it. No, they might show it over and over again, because you know what's really funny is I follow a lot of Steelers fans, and man, do I love the Steelers after, because we're driving home from the MetLife game. And we stop at a rest stop and I get Burger King and I'm watching on my phone, you know, shout out to YouTube TV. And I'm watching this game and I watch Najee Harris get that first down and slide baseball slide head like first and everything, feet first. And you just know it. It's over. And the Rams just clinched the playoffs. And it's just such a great feeling, especially being that close to the Rams and being at the stadium and, you know, talking with the guys I talk to, you know.
How was that trip, Jake? I know we talked about me for a little bit, you know, playing special teams. I know you were at the game. It's a big deal for you. And it was really cool, Jake, is I know you're not going to say it on our show, so I'll say it for you. Well, it's just cool to see, Jake. I saw your social media posts. You know, you sent me some pictures. It's really cool to see you engaging with some of these athletes as a trusted media source. Because you put a lot of work in, bro. You put a lot of work in your relationships. You put a lot of work into these shows when it comes to what we're going to talk about today, right? Like, all of that has it paid off this weekend. Giants, you know, Rams game, it paid off. Seeing you in those pictures, smiling with your family, that was really cool. So, Jake, please share with the group kind of what that experience has been like and just kind of your hard work and how, you know, you're with the Keller Witherspoon. Like, it was really awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Cam. You know, it was just... Yeah, I mean, it's really cool because I don't get a chance to go to many games. I know I probably should go to more, but it's tough, man, because I love watching. Like, it's the best sport to watch on TV, like, bar none. Yeah. So, you know, I try to go at least once a year, and MetLife seems to be...
It's a little cold.
Oh, it was cold. It was cold. It was so cold, my thumb felt like it was dislocated, so I couldn't text anymore. So I had people like, you know, asking me like, hey, you know, all these questions, like, why did you stop texting me? My thumb was like going this way, you know.
And all the
also
fans that were in the stands that you saw that recognized you, like that
yeah,
was
cool. That was crazy. I had people come up to my row and be like, hey, can I get a selfie? Like, yeah, you know.
Any fans shout outs at all while we're here, Jake? Like, hey, shout out to that one guy who gave me a hot dog or whatever. Anything like that?
Yeah, you know, shout out this one girl. I don't know if she gave me her name, but she said her dad's a huge fan of my show. I do multiple shows, so I'll just assume he watches all of them. Hopefully he'll see this. But you know, she came up so nice and everything, asked me for a selfie from my section, so that was really cool. This one guy with his kid said, I was looking all over for you, man. Like, looking for that Tutu Atwell jersey and the yellow hat. You just kept saying Tutu Atwell, yellow hat. And I actually walked right to him, you know, so he didn't have to go and search.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know,
I
had.
How does your parents feel, Jake? I mean, you're like you had your siblings there with you. Like, yeah, how was that? How did they react? Because, you know, you're up, Jake. People don't know this. Like, they don't know this. We do this show during the day. But, Jake, you're usually the night before you're up, you know, clipping tapes, you're up watching film up and really until like 3 or 4 in the morning. So like, you know, your family that went to the game, they see that and they know that. But how did they respond when they saw the fans come up who see your film and see your footage, but they don't really know behind the scenes what Jake goes through? What did your family react to?
My dad was proud, but I think he just kind of was like, I expected this, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that's really cool. And you know, my mom is just super proud and everything. Like, I always tell them, because my late grandpa Dave, who I lost, you know, the last, you know, couple years,
rest in heaven.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like, he was my biggest supporter. It's nothing against my parents, but even they would admit,
like,
I mean,
as good as grandpa.
Well, like, every time, like, he called me, he'd be like, oh, I'll be seeing you on TV someday, which, hey, we're on TV right now, technically.
Hey,
so, you know, I just think, you know, I was just so fortunate to have so many people in my corner, and it's just made it so easy, because when you have people in your corner, such as yourself, I mean, just, you know, having Cam in my corner, having Alexis in my corner, and Blaine, you know, people like that, and then family, when you have that many supporters, it makes it so easy. You just buckle down, just focus on what you want to get done, because they already support you. My best friend, Tyler, you know, with that, I mean, it's I'm lucky. That's really what it comes down to. I don't believe in luck all the time. I'm lucky I have this many people that support me at age 28 because not everyone does, you know?
No, Jake, not everyone shows up. I think that's really important. I think just for the fan base and people watching the show, you know, as a former player, for me, I had a lot of people come and support me, right? Cam, give me tickets to the game. I haven't talked to you in 30 years, but can I get tickets to the game? What does that look like? And those are false supporters, right? Even though they might be your first cousin, but those aren't really supporters like that. They kind of just, they call them takers, right? And there's a lot of takers. And I've seen that while I was playing. When I retired, where do the takers go, right? They quote unquote, don't really have much to take. So, you know, I really pride myself on my tribe and my community and my council. And that's really important for my success as a retired player. You know, it's important for me. And I have a wife now. So now our tribe is really important. So for you to say that as well, Jake, it doesn't fall far from the tree. Anybody watching the show, from a former player to yourself, community is really important. The support is really important. So I'm really glad that they were there to support you during that game. And Jake, there's going to be a lot more games for them to support you at. And these folks watching the show, you know, next year we want to plan to go to a game. So Jake and I will be at a game next year. And we hope to, maybe we'll do like a signing or something like that. Jake, we'll figure it out.
Live show, man. Let's make it happen. Anyone who wants to host us in LA, let's do it. You know, we'll do a whole joint thing. You know, let's 100%.
We're going to invite our families. I'm from LA, Jake. So my support group out here is kind of heavy. So, you know, my family's your family, Jake, and I'm looking forward to doing that next year. We'll write it down, our 2024 goals, live show the next year. Count on it.
100%, Cam. That is the goal. Appreciate you giving me that time, by the way. It means a lot.
Already,
But yeah, man. I guess before we dive into the rest of our show, just want to let you guys know that Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs this season. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. But Cam, you know, we really like talking about underdog fantasy as well. So tell our listeners/viewers how they can get involved in underdog fantasy.
Got y'all covered. You can start playing Pick'em or weekly fantasy for any sport today. Users will receive 100% deposit match up to $100 if they use promo code Believe in Rams at sign up. Start playing Pick'em and weekly fantasy football today with underdog fantasy.
That's underdog fantasy. I love that. Like, you get super low in the voice and it's just like, man, we got to get that on the radio.
Yeah, like a little NFL red zone with Scott Hansen, you know, he's there. He got to rubbed off on me, Jake. That's how I'm doing it after every ad read.
Oh, that's great. So the Rams won, in case you guys didn't know, 26-25. My heart stopped. I can confirm that, because I'll tell you right now, Cam, I was at the 50-yard line in the cheap seats. You can't tell if he made that field goal or not from there. You're just looking at the fans that are over by the goalpost. And if they're all upset, then you're going to assume that most of those are Giants fans and that the Rams just won. But I didn't know until, you know, the video board showed it. And man, it was all written in the stars for Mason Crosby to end the Rams season right then and there. There's a very good chance the Rams could have, you know, lost that game, and they could have lost week 18. We don't know. We're going to be talking about it, but
Jake, I'm looking it up right now. Mason Crosby is a 6th round draft pick. Now, this is a specialist, so that means he's a baller. This is in 2007. Oh my gosh. So
they caught him, man.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, of course, Mason's a little bit of dinosaur, but at the end of the day, he's been in the league for a long time. And what I'm getting to is he's a respected player in football. At the end of the day, if you can stay in the league for that many years, you are respected. And the fact that he missed that kick to end the Rams' hope, you know, playoff hopes, we got lucky, Jake. We got lucky, bro, because you expect a guy like Crosby. My wife, Erinique, she's like, oh, Crosby, man? She's like, I know Crosby. And Jake, she didn't start watching football until she started dating me, bro. And she was like, Crosby? Like, wait, I've seen him before. And the fact that he missed that.
That's game, so funny.
Bro, we got in the Packers. That was our favorite team. Who was it? It was a linebacker from Clay Matthews. She loved Clay Matthews, long hair. You know, she were from California, so Clay Matthews, her favorite player. You know, the Packers, and Mason Crosby was a kicker. So she's like, hey, Crosby, I know him. And the fact that he missed it, Jake, we got super lucky. And then going another step further, back to the beginning of the show, the special teams, the reason why we're in that situation is because we let a punt return get down the field.
And, oh, my God.
Dude, it's...
Yeah. I had Steeler fans saying, I didn't... Gunnar Olszewski did something. Like, that's literally... He was a former Steeler earlier in the year. I mean, people couldn't believe it. He broke, like, 6-7 tackles on that... I mean, really poor, too, because you had all those guys converging. But then... And I understand there was still plenty of time left. The Rams could have won. But we saw what happened when the Rams got the ball. It was a 3-and-out, and it was bad. I mean, Stafford got sacked. But maybe they changed their approach a little bit if the Giants make that two-point conversion, which I think is luckier for the Rams that they missed the two-point conversion than missing the field goal, because you don't get it any easier than that.
No, after that, Jake, I was like, okay, Tyrod Taylor. I mentioned this before the show last week. I was like, okay, Jake, this is Tyrod Taylor. It's a different type of quarterback. He's going to run. And the Giants will be the Giants at the end of the day. I told my wife, I was like, we're watching the game. And I was like, Aaronik, you know what? MetLife Stadium has a little curse over there. I don't know what's going on, but the Giants will be the Giants. The fact that he didn't extend that ball just a little bit, Jake, that was a season. And that's, I think
he was a baller in that game too. So it made no sense. He hit like he was hitting all the throws.
The broadcaster mentioned that's just epitome of their season. You know, you play decent throughout the year, you know, Tyrod Taylor playing decent. And then when it counts, when it matters, when you can put that nail in the coffin, can't get it done. Can't get it. And so I'm like, thank God we're playing the Giants, you know, because to be honest, Jake, we talked about it. The Giants game. And what was the Washington football team game? I told you, those are the games where you got to hang points up on them. And that wasn't it. I think the Rams, I think we were looking towards the 49ers. We were doing that. And it almost got us, bro. It almost got us.
I'll say this. That really kind of resets your whole mindset about a win and a loss. Because, you know, the great thing about that, I think that's a blessing, Cam. I think barely hanging on New Year's Eve, traveling 3,000 miles. It was cold as shit. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. I was there.
What was the temperature, Jake?
Like, it was 30, but when you're sitting there, that feels like negative. Yeah, sitting there for brutal. 3 hours, that's like negative degrees. So, you know, I look at it like this. This is the best case scenario because the Rams had to win. But it's also kind of like suffering a loss right before the playoffs, kind of humbling you. And I think Sean McVay kind of looks at it like that as well. He's like, we did everything we could to give that game away. And, you know, he wasn't trying to take any credit away from Wink Martindale. Trust me, he wasn't. He gave him a lot of credit. Or Brian Daboll. But, you know, this is a game where you escape this late in December and you have a chance now to go to the playoffs. And I mean, I look at it like this. The Rams are able to learn from their mistake without having to learn by like actually losing the game.
We got a city
you
of angels,
don't
Jake.
Get that.
Los Angeles, you have a city of angels because we got lucky, bro. We got that pass. I think we just had some angels, Jake, blocking Tyrod Taylor's pass from like going forward. I think we had an angel just kind of like, ah.
Oh,
football angel just, ah.
With that said, because we'll get into the Niners game, obviously, but two things I want to bring up. First off, is this the team of destiny, Cam? You were on the Rams. You were on the Bucks. Did you at any point have a season where you won a game by 1 point twice on a missed field goal? That's unheard of. That never goes the Rams' way. I've been a fan since birth, okay? I've watched a lot of same old sorry-ass Rams, St. Louis Rams football, okay? Yes. They don't win those games. Those Jake, always go through the uprights.
Yeah, Jake, that's what I'm saying. With Crosby kicking, like I said, bro, like we got mad lucky, and I do think two J.
But even Jason Myers with Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
And what?
What I will say, Jake, is I'm just wearing this shirt, this Tom Brady shirt, to see him turn the season around when it did, right? You saw the Buccaneers, Jake, they were getting their ass kicked at the beginning of the season, and then something changed. Same thing with the Rams, this bye week. I think Matthew Stafford said it, is that we were playing like we were in, like every game was a playoff game, and it's just the mindset, and it's that switch, and we got lucky, and I think because of that switch, Jake, we won so many games back-to-back. I think that's where the blessing came. I think we had some more momentum where that momentum, that football momentum blew that kick a little bit short, right? And blew Tyrod. I'm just saying, I'm praying that this is the case, all right? I could be making this up, but at the end of the day, we've been playing well recently, Jake, and we deserve to win, Jake. If we weren't playing decent, Jake, all season we lost this game, and I'm like, yep, it's because we haven't been playing well. But since we locked in after the bye, like Matthew Stafford said, we locked in, we got really, really focused, and we're winning games that we shouldn't win. And hey, a win is a win is a win at the end of the day, Jake, right? You say we look at it, we can say, oh, we should have won, we should have lost. That don't matter in NFL. Once you win that game, hey, 24-hour rule, and you go to the next one, hey, almost the 49ers, my guy.
I'm with you, man. Before we move on to the 49ers, shout out Kyron, had 3 touchdowns in this game. Kobe Turner padding his defensive rookie of the year resume, which, by the way, he should be defensive rookie of the year. Nacua, watching that live, he looked like he was going to get, you know, chauffeured out of bounds, and all of a sudden he spins around, and now all of a sudden he's running 80 yards down the field. And right before that play, Cam, it's one of the things that you don't see on TV, but you get to see when you're at the stadium. I saw him calling off, and they kind of waved him back on the field. And like afterwards, Jordan Rodrigue reported he was throwing up in a trash can. Like, I mean, running 80 yards when you were calling off the field the play before, like trying to get a breather. You don't get that breather, and they're like, "Oh crap, I gotta do this. I gotta do it."
That's like the flu game, bro. I keep telling my wife, Veronique, right? She keeps asking me, Cam, like, why you keep talking about Puka Nacua? She said, she's in the other room. She's like, I bet I'm going to hear Puka Nacua on the show tonight. I was like, hell yeah, you are. Puka Nacua, Jake, he's tough as nails. I think we talk about grit. I think he has that. How hurt is Puka Nacua right now, right? Like, you saw on that run, he was looking back a little bit. He knew he was going to get caught because he wasn't feeling great. You just said he threw up. What other injuries does he have? Is that oblique still okay? How many hamstring tweaks does he have in his body, right? And you just never know. He's probably playing on 70%, and the fact that he's showing out the way he is, I mean, you know, give him rookie of the year, Jake. Just do it right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's super impressive. And then Kobe Turner, right? I know it's funny because I saw Puka Nacua, rookie of the year, Kobe Turner, defensive player of the year, and I saw Alexis, you know, the Rams retweeted her on Instagram or Twitter on X, so that was really cool. A shout out to Alexis for getting that up there.
Oh yeah. No, she was hyped. She sent that to me. She's like, oh my God, look, the Rams mentioned me. I was like, yeah. I mean, they follow you on Twitter. They should, you know, yeah,
he's like, cause you and me, like, you good.
Yeah, exactly. Like we take care of each other over here, you know?
Yeah. That's cool.
Hell yeah. But yeah, man, I think right now, What kind of bothers me about this game is that they scored 4 touchdowns, but you see 26 and you're thinking, I don't know, 2 touchdowns, maybe a bunch of field goals. Like 26 doesn't feel like 4 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I hear like, oh, the offense just had an off day. Their off day scoring 4 touchdowns on the road in the freezing cold on December 31st. I mean,
two interceptions going to kill them, Jake. They should have beat them by more. I'm sure you're going to get to that, but
yeah,
Jake, I talk about it all the time, bro. Takeaways. That's the most important factor in football. I mean, you saw the Alabama Michigan game, Jake. Alabama was trying to give Michigan that football, bro, dropping punts. They were trying to give the ball away. And Bama ended up losing because the turnover margin was 0-0. Michigan ended up getting an interception. Michigan was kicking their ass the whole game. They ended up winning. And the turnover margin is crucial. The Rams, we got lucky, bro, because we threw 2 interceptions. We got lucky and we got one, but we got lucky.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, and you know, I think they got a fluky fumble on DeMarcus Robinson, where he's kind of turning, and it's just a perfect. And I mean, you got to give credit. Dane Belton was unbelievable. And keep in mind, he's not even the starter. So Jason Pinnock couldn't play. I covered him last year when I was covering the Jets. And Jason Pinnock is important in that back end of the secondary. And Dane Belton comes in, and it's 2 interceptions. It's 4 fumbles left and right. I think he had a sack. He was everywhere. He was everywhere.
And for Robinson, for our guy Robinson now, you know, we talked about with Kyron. Hey, let's not get too comfortable. You're probably going to take Tutu Atwell's spot at this point, Jake. I mean, we love Tutu, but let's just keep a stack. He is now the third receiver, and let's not get too comfortable because, you know, that's 1 forced fumble. But just know that the 49ers – the 49ers will take that ball away, and Tutu Atwell will be in that game, bro. I know you wore his game. You wore a jersey to the game the other day. Trust me, Tutu Atwell will be in that game if our guy Robinson does not secure the football, because Playoff football is coming up, Jake, so everything has to be fine-tuned. I know he's been scoring touchdowns. We love him. I love him. But don't get taken off that field just because, you know, I want to get lackadaisical with my technique, Jake. We all know when you run that football, keep it high and tight. There's no situation where that he should have that ball out there. So I know I'm being tough on him, Jake, but I want to win, bro.
I hear you, man. Well, yeah. I mean, also, you've played this game at the highest level, you know? Yeah. You've been on a football field. You're a linebacker by, yeah. I mean, mind, body, and soul, you are a linebacker. So the first thing you're thinking of is I'm going to punch this ball out, but I'm going to secure the tackle while I'm doing it. Yeah. That's what the 49ers do. That Brent they do Warren, it well.
Greenlaw, they're about, Jake, trust me, Robinson.
They might not play, now, though. That's another thing.
That's true. But their backups right yeah. now, Jake.
Oren Burks.
In linebacker room, they're circling Robinson. Hey, we got a duck. They're saying, look, we got a duck on line one. Number 15, he think he been scoring. We about to humble him this game. He thinks it's the last game of the season. We about to get him. Bro, Jake, I'm telling you. This is what they're talking about.
So to wrap this up, big shout-outs to Kobe Turner, 2.5. Big shout-out to Donald, 2 sacks. Byron Young got himself a sack. Hoyt looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fuller got an interception. I think it's gotten to the point where, I mean, you might see Kobe Turner sitting out. You might see Michael Hoyt sitting out. I mean, Hoyt's played well. I don't know why he's covering. He was covering Darren Waller deep down the field. I'm like, I could literally feel Cam's, like, the energy of him eye rolling while I was at the game. I'm watching that, and I'm like, I don't even think the cameras got there yet. And I'm like, I'm watching this unfold, and I'm like, and he's. Yep. Like, Waller's in the end zone. It's just a missed throw. But then I heard somebody say, well, it was nice effort by Hoyt. I was like, yeah, Hoyt shouldn't be in that situation at all. Wait, like,
didn't Waller get signed, Jake, for like X amount of dollars in the offseason, bro? And that's what these teams are doing, Jake, is they're finding the deep
former receiver.
They're putting the best players on them. They're putting the best players on Hoyt because they know he has to cover them. And it's... Yeah.
Hey,
if we don't learn now, Jake, we'll learn in the playoffs. What they say, a hard head makes a soft behind. If we keep dropping Hoyt back in coverage against the best receivers, hey, we'll learn someday. We'll learn someday.
It's tough. I mean, he played pretty well. He's getting better as a rusher. He might just be a late November, December type of player. I'm sure you were around those guys that kind of heat up at the end of season. Maybe they take a little bit to get into the flow of things. DeMarcus is one of those guys.
Yeah. And Cole, you know, was learning, Jay. He was learning. He had to learn a whole new scheme, position, not scheme, but just position and skill. He had to learn a whole new skill set, and he's athletic enough to learn it. Is he the best at it? I don't know, but yeah, I agree. He warmed up.
So,
he got it.
So the battle of the two rival NFC West teams, we move on here. The Rams, 9-7, 4-4 on the road, take on the 5-2 at home, 12-4 49ers. The 49ers have already announced they're starting Sam Darnold. The Rams have announced they're starting Carson Wentz. This could be the battle of the backups, and what I will say is I think people are about to see how underrated, when people say this Rams team doesn't have depth, I think people are about to see how underrated this depth is. I actually made a tweet before we went live, or before we recorded this. I attempted to guess the Rams starting lineup this weekend. Okay. I already know one of them is off, so I think Alec Jackson might have to play left tackle because Joe Noboom is out. He got hurt last week. So my starting quarterback, Carson Wentz. We already know that. Starting running back, Ronnie Rivers / Royce Freeman. I think both they got to get both going in case they need both in the playoffs. Yeah. Wide receiver, Tutu Atwell. Wide receiver, Ben Skoranek. Wide receiver, Austin Trammell. We'll probably see. I know people are thinking, you know, they might get, you know, Xavier Smith. I don't think he's going to get. You can only activate two guys off of the practice squad, so I don't think he's going to be one of them. I know one of them is going to be Dresser Wynn. They just signed because they need that backup quarterback. They're not trying to put Stafford in if Wentz goes down and lose both their starter and backup after they went in thinking, okay, they're off.
Question, you know? Jake, really quick. Stetson Bennett, where did our guy go?
I don't know if he plays football again, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
We haven't heard much, but I'm not confident he comes back to the NFL.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Which sucks because this would be a huge opportunity. Well, I'm a Carson Wentz fan, so I'll take this all day.
Yeah, yeah.
But if Carson Wentz went down, you know, knowing Stafford, Bennett is behind him, I'd feel a little bit better than dress or win. We'll just say that.
Same because the 49ers faced that last year, right, Jake? They got to Garoppolo, Purdy, and then the next one.
But Tyler Johnson, who we saw in preseason, he's going to be able to get going and do his thing. He's been on the practice squad all year. And notably, he caught some passes from Tom Brady in the playoffs. So, I mean, this guy has that playoff football experience where you get him going. Maybe he does something in the playoffs. But Davis Allen, our guy Davis Allen will likely start. Bryson Hopkins, another one of my guys, like to see that. I think Alaric starts at left tackle, like I mentioned. Maybe they get somebody else. But I'm expecting Alaric there. Left guard will probably be Tremaine Ankrum Jr. I don't expect them to use Steve Avila. If they do, fine, whatever. I don't expect it. No. Center, they might just roll with Coleman Shelton, but I think they're going to start Brian Allen. So then right guard, I think they take Zach Thomas off the practice squad. He started against the 49ers, or he came in relief when Nopum went down against the 49ers, and it wasn't great. But this is a guy who's already had some experience in game this year. I think that's the guy most likely to come off the practice squad and not a guy that has no experience. Right tackle, Warren McClendon Jr. I think that's pretty obvious. He's already played there a little bit. There's no way Havenstein plays this game. Ain't no way you're putting Havenstein out there, or Dotson for that matter. So then you look at the defense, Cam. I got Jonah Williams, who I'm sure they don't really want to play. So if they don't have to, I mean, it could be Laurel Murchison, right? But Jonah Williams, Bobby Brown III, I'm against him playing, by the way. He just came off an injury. I talked to him last week and I'm glad that he's good. But if he's good, why not just save him for the playoffs? I mean, he's very important. He does a lot of the dirty work no one wants to talk about, makes things a little bit easier on some of the other guys. So I don't know if I would start him, but I think they're going to. Deswan Johnson, Mr. Irrelevant, he has a chance to, you know, he looked really good. He's looked good throughout the year, really, when he gets his usage. O'Shawn Mathis at outside linebacker. He kind of lost his spot, has been a healthy scratch the last few weeks. Yeah, I think he gets the nod.
Redemption opportunity, yeah.
Yeah. Troy Reader, who started in the Super Bowl, you know, he's been playing a lot more recently. I think he's been playing solid football. Troy Reader will start. Jake Hummel, I like him at inside linebacker. Nick Hampton's been coming on strong. I don't think he's come on strong enough for them to not play him. I don't think he's at that level yet, but I think this is a great opportunity for him to start a full game. Duke Shelley, I think, is going to get the start as cornerback one coming off the IR, which is great. I was hoping for this. As long as he's healthy, Cam, Trey Tomlinson will get his due this week. Trey Tomlinson's a guy who we talked about big time before the season. I think we rushed him too quickly into the spotlight. This is somebody, prime example of somebody who is going to have a really good sophomore year, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jake, I appreciate you breaking that down. And so what it sounds like from my experience playing in a situation like this, okay, if you clinch the playoffs, the last game of the season, the NFL added the season on to the schedule. So this is game 18 and took away a preseason game. So I see this game as an addition to the preseason game. You move it from the end of the preseason, you move it to the end of the season. That's, mind you, caveat, only if you clinch the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is only a preseason game if you clinch the playoffs. If you didn't clinch the playoffs, this is a regular game for you. And unfortunately, you're running on E right now, right? The guys that are the starters that are playing right now that are hoping to get to the playoffs are going to suffer in the playoffs, because their legs aren't fresh. You think about like the Warriors, right? From the Warriors when they were winning, fresh legs. Their second string can beat a starter team. And that means their starters come to playoffs, they're ready to go. LeBron James, when he gets to the playoffs, they sweep teams in four games and they're fresh the next game. This is that scenario. And so what I would imagine, Jacob, you got a first string, second string, and third string. All the first stringers, sit down. You know, the guys that are rotating between first and second string, those guys are the starters. The second string guys are now backing up those guys that were doing the one and two. And then the third string guys are now the second string. So you kind of just remove that first string and you make the other two groups, the first and the second string, similar to what you do in a preseason game. What I will say is that the active starters, it's a mentally alive game for them, right? So I want to see clipboards. I want to see talking to the players. that are actually in the game, but they need those live reps because they're going to see the 49ers in the playoffs, hopefully. So they need those live reps. And so, to be honest, Jake, I would even give some of my leaders in my team or that team some of the play calling. Hey, tell Raheem what play you want on this one, right? Just to get them that confidence going so they know the following week in the playoffs that Raheem knows that they like to play and that they know that's going to work. And so there's a little strategy to this, Jake, but I'm really excited to see what the Rams do this season, this game before the 49ers.
So speaking of your strategy here, it's not cut and dry because it's not like one of those, because I hear a lot of fans saying this game doesn't matter, which I find absolute, like, it is so ironic. Okay. I'm going to call it the Rams fans for a second. Okay. Ready for this?
Yeah.
It is so ironic to me how there are people that will literally say, I would rather beat the 49ers than win a Super Bowl. Like in the NFC title game, there are people that have said to me the NFC title game mattered more than the Super Bowl, right?
They don't like the Rams. They don't like the Rams. They don't like football, Jake. Them folks don't like football.
So you can't have those people say, I hate the 49ers so much, and then say in the same token, well, this game is meaningless.
Yeah.
This game isn't meaningless either, because do you know why? The Rams can fall to the seventh seed. And no seventh seed in the history of the NFL has ever won in the playoffs.
That part.
And now...
That part.
I'll just keep cooking because why not?
Yeah.
So that's a first. So do you want to be the first team to do that? I'd rather not be in that position, to be honest with you.
Why recreate the wheel? Like, why just, you know, like,
yeah. So
we,
first,
we need magic.
So this is a whole thing of first. So first team to do that. And oh, by the way, in all likelihood, if they had the seventh seed, the most likely outcome would be playing Dallas. So you'd have to be the first team to beat Dallas at home this year. And yeah, we could talk about how the Lions clearly beat them and the refs blew that. But the point is that the Rams would have to beat them at home in the playoffs at a place where they're 3-5 on the road. This is not a good road team. But they are undefeated at home. And again,
it's loud. Jerry World's,
you know,
loud, bro. It's top
of
stadiums that I've been in, bro. That shit's loud. And don't throw an Matthew Stafford, don't throw an interception in Jerry World, bro. you wouldn't be hear yourself think. So
they already lost 43-20. You could say that's not gonna happen again, but you don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that I'll be the first one to tell you the second best team in the NFC behind the 49ers is the Rams right now. Currently, I believe that.
We need to beat them, Jake. We need to beat them. I just your point, bro. We need to sneak in because the 49ers like, oh, we clinched it. Yeah, we need to go in there, take all the Christmas gifts that they got, all that PS. We need to go ahead and get all that because the 49ers, they're disrespectful. They come into the Rams house, say, oh, we run LA. No, go up there and whoop their ass.
I'm with you. I'm kind of tired of hearing you know, what do they always say? Levi South. I was like,
yeah.
Don't you take your generic ass stadium and try to ever discredit SoFi.
Yeah.
SoFi is a spaceship and Levi's is a public restroom. So they're not the same. Okay. Don't ever try to discredit the state of the art Kroenke facility with that freaking generic ass stadium ever again. Don't do it.
And, you know, I don't want to compare stadiums. You know, I want to get into the billionaire battle where my stadium is better than yours. I want to get into that. But what I will say, though, for the Rams fans, it's a sense of pride, right? For the fans out there that actually tweet, hey, this game doesn't matter. Well, think about it like this. Imagine someone comes to your house during New Year's and like, hey, that crab looks good. That steak looks good. I'm going to get that. I want that. And I live in San Francisco. I'm going to come down to L.A., take your fandom. I'm going to take your fan flag. I'm going to rip all that shit down. And take it back to back with me. That's the same process. No matter if you're playing for the Super Bowl or playing for anything, anytime you play a game, you got to protect the territory. You got to protect your house. You can't just let somebody run up in your spot, bro.
Hell so, no.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. Any fan that is a fan of the NFL should want to see the Rams playing Detroit. Okay. That is the best scenario. It's a great matchup for the Rams, I think.
Yeah,
but I think just the storylines there, Stafford going back to Ford Field, Goff playing the Rams, having a chance to knock the team that gave up on him out of the playoffs. You could say vice versa. I mean, the Lions were done with Stafford too. You know, that to me is huge, but in order for that
Rams
to happen,
staff, the former staff is over there. I mean,
Aubrey Pleasant got fired by them. So, Yeah, no, that's true.
The GM for the Lions was at the rent. I mean, bro, it would be awesome to see.
It really would. And, you know, it's really simple how to get this thing to work. You beat the 49ers. And if the Cowboys beat Washington, that's it. That's it. It's done. Lions, Rams, first round of the playoffs. Don't you dare put that on Monday Night Football. Get rid of the Monday Night Football playoff game. That is so stupid that I earn my right to make the playoffs. I'm one of the 14 teams out of 32, and you're going to make me play a Monday Night Football and you could say, oh, well, you won't play the Saturday game. You'll play the Sunday. Hey, newsflash. That's a short week. Why am I getting a disadvantage? You're creating a disadvantage for a playoff team. That is insane. That is insanity.
Created 18 games, Jake. So got to fit them in somehow, unfortunately.
I mean, Monday Night Football thing, that is absolutely oh God. The Rams had to do that, by the way. They won the Super Bowl when they did that last. So, well, okay, I guess bring it on. But I mean, it's still ridiculous. They are the most likely scenario for the Rams is Dallas. That is. I mean, it's the Lions that they win. It's the Lions that they lose and the Packers lose. It's the Lions that they lose, the Packers win, the Lions win, and the Cowboys lose. But there's most of those scenarios, the Rams having to go to San Francisco playing their backups and everything, the 49ers would be the favorite there, right? And because of that, Dallas is the most likely. And I'll just say this. I think they can beat anybody in their way. I'll also say this. I think I want Detroit because of the storyline and everything, but I don't care who they play. I think they'll win. And I'll say this, the easiest team, the team that you do want to play is the least likely, the Philadelphia Eagles, because that team right now, I'll tell you, they are crumbling. I won't be surprised if that Giants team we just saw, okay, the Giants team we just saw take it to the Rams beats Philly, because I can tell you right now, watching that team, I don't think their spirit's going to be broken after that Rams game. They got one more game. It's against a hated rival, and it's at MetLife Stadium. Are you kidding me? Tyrod's playing for his career right now.
Yeah, so the Eagles going to get beat for sure. They almost beat us. Shit, talking about the Giants. So yeah, the Eagles going to get beat. And one thing, Jake, I will say before we jump off here, I want to shout out Mike LaFleur. Rams offense coordinator. I know, you know, Raheem Morris, he's been fabulous. He's been with us for a couple years, but Mike LaFleur has turned this shit around, bro. From last year, this point, we were depressed as hell, you know, Mike LaFleur turned this shit around, and, you know, Sean McVay as well. Like, just shout out to what he's done in getting the right chefs in the kitchen. Cause you talked about the Eagles, they got rookie offensive defensive coordinators. Like, bro, it's hard to win like that. So it's sad for them, but shout out to the Rams for getting right in the offseason, building that house that we talked about that can be sustainable. We're going to the playoffs, man. So great job to that staff at the Rams.
Yeah, and shout out to Jonathan Gannon and all those Eagles fans that blamed him for the Super Bowl loss. Then he gets to beat them and screw them out of the one seed. I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah. With that Cardinals team, I don't want to play him. I know Seattle doesn't want to play him. Well, Seattle's probably not making the playoffs. I got news for you. They blew that. They let that train go. And I'll tell you right now, actually, let's get crazier here. Ready? Packers, I think, are going to beat the Bears. I think the Rams beat the 49ers. I got 23-20. Carson Wentz is going to do it. I believe in Carson. I think he's going to do it. Sean McVay is going to call plays. I trust him. But the Packers are going to win. So they will take the 7th seed. They will lock that up over Seattle. So, Seattle. Packers make the 7th, right? Packers are going to beat Dallas. Okay. If they play Dallas, Jordan that is not balling. A good matchup. Jordan they are going to beat Dallas, and there's some history there. They're going to beat Dallas. The Rams are going to beat Detroit, and I think the Bucks are going to beat Philly. So that, there you go. Both teams of yours are going to make it to the next round. So this is where it gets interesting. First off, the 2021 divisional round of the playoffs, 49ers, Packers, Rams, Bucks. It would be a rematch of that. The second thing, this is the most important thing. This is why you fight. Oh, I don't care about the 6th seed. This is why you fight. Might not be a super possibility this happens, but if by some chance The Packers beat the 1 seed and the 2 seed, and the Rams took care of business. Guess where the NFC title game is being played? At SoFi Stadium. Could you imagine that?
Let's win. Let's win out, bro. We got to win out. That's the only way to imagine that. We got to win out.
And I'll say this. Both 6 seeds, in my opinion, are the scariest teams in the league right now. Yeah. The Rams and the Bills. I don't think anyone wants to play either of them.
No, no. I heard a 49ers fan say the other day, I do not want to play the Rams. It was actually, I work for this other company, and my boss for that company is like, yeah, I don't want the 49ers to play the Rams. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't either because we're dangerous. And Jake, I'm going to call this game 49ers-Rams. I'm going to say 17-20. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I do think Carson Wentz is going to make things happen. I think Tutu Atwell is going to find that end zone. And we're going to get some turnovers, so we'll see.
Man, first play of the game, key badges. Yeah, I think they're going to go really conservative, not really roll out the playbook, not trying to show their cards because they're probably going to play each other in the playoffs. First thing, play action. Wentz, deep down the field. He's got Atwell in stride. Like, I could totally see that. Like, 100%. I mean,
that's what the Packers are doing. You see Jordan Love. He was playing. One game it was.
Just
firing the ball down the field, Jake. He's looking dangerous. And yeah, I mean, the Packers are a dangerous team too, bro. So, hey, it's a lot of good football to come this weekend and Saturday. And I'm excited to see what the Rams do on Sunday.
I am too, man, but that's going to do it. We'll be back next week. We'll have way more clarity on what the heck is going on. We'll know exactly who the Rams are playing the next time we record. At this point, I mean, once we know who they're playing, it'll be a full-blown episode of just breaking that game down because that game's everything. That is win and you're in, lose and you're gone. I mean, it's no different than the NCAA tournament, you know?
Book a trip to Mexico. Book your trip. Book your vacation if you don't win. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I could just hear the one shining moment. Like,
yeah, bro. It's gonna be interesting. But, hey, man, you know, really proud of the Rams. I'll end up saying that, man. I'm really proud of the Rams. You know, a year from now, we were in a different position. So I'm just grateful, bro. I'm just grateful.
All right. I'm with you, but I'm also going to say this. I'm proud of us because we had them making the playoffs before the season. So did Alexis. And you have to understand something. When you take that strong of a stand on a certain topic like that, when the whole media circuit is saying, you're crazy, this team's going to have 3-4 wins, Caleb Williams season, and we're just like, ain't none of that Caleb Williams. He's not coming to the Rams. They're not going to have a chance. When you take that strong of a stand and then something like this happens where the Rams go through that 3-6 skid, you have a chance to get off that train and join them. I did not. I was like, you know what? They got Carson Wentz. Stafford's healthy. They got ripping out. I'm feeling good. And, I feel like, you know, seeing them turn from 3-6 to 9-7 with the only loss that they've suffered against arguably the best team in the league, the team that has the MVP of the league and Lamar Jackson, all likelihood.
Yeah. We had them beat.
Yeah.
Come on.
But that's the only loss they have since the bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people are sleeping on this team still. I mean, it's so funny to me because it's all about, I don't know if they can beat this team in this. I don't know who can beat them.
We got faith of a mustard seed, my guy. That's all we need. It can be little faith, but it sprouted. And so we're seeing a full bloom right now, brother. So, hey, we'll welcome the bandwagoners. Go, hey, come on in. If you was a Rams fan before and trying to get off.
Absolutely.
Come on with it.
Bring on the bandwagon. We want everyone over here. Rams fan base is getting bigger, by the way. The turnout was absolutely amazing at MetLife. Just a lot of Rams fans feeling really good about the future here. Last thing I'll say as we wrap this thing up, you can follow me at JK Bogan on all socials. You can follow Cam at Cameron Lynch 50 on all socials. Nice, you know, zoom in on Cam's finger there. Not quite Torrey Holt's finger going that way, but
Well done. Hall of Fame soon? He better.
I'm gonna throw hands if he doesn't get in.
That's funny. I want to joke more about hands and the whole finger point thing, but you know, I'll stop my jokes there. Hopefully,
Torrey in
the Hall of Fame. Shout out to our guy Torrey.
We got our fingerprints all over that one, man. It's the puns. Anyway, what I'll say is this. Okay, there's only one team in the NFC that has a Super Bowl champion on their team, a legitimate Super Bowl champion that won in the Super Bowl, and that is Matthew Stafford in the NFC. So when push comes to shove, I trust Sean McVay. I trust Matthew Stafford. Carson Wentz also has the other Super Bowl, which is worth noting. But I trust this team. I think they're top heavy in the right spots. They got the veteran leadership in the right spots. And I'll say this, with all due respect to Lucas Haversick, this was the move to go back and get Brett Maher. This is the smart move. People are looking at, he missed five extra points.
You tweeted that, bro, mad long ago. You tweeted about this mad long ago.
I was like, they never should have gotten rid of him. It was an emotionally charged decision. And I got to give the Rams credit because they apparently listened to me. They went out and got Wentz. They went out and got Hendo. They bring back Maher. Been a fun year.
I'm glad somebody's listening, bro.
Yeah, man. Anyway, well, this has been fun. You guys can like, subscribe, and comment if you want to help us out. Again, follow us on our socials. You can see below. But I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch, who should be on our special teams unit right now. Whether he realizes it or not, or likes it or not, I mean, I'm about to give him a number 50 or number 55 or whatever the hell jersey he wants to wear. Tell him to get the hell out there. But
you have to pay me the bag. You have to pay me the bag for one game, bro. One play, one all special team snap, big bag, and then right back off the field in retirement.
Well, that sounds like a plan. But until next time, we'll see you guys later. Go Rams.